the 17th chapter, Glory to You, O Lord. Our gospel this morning is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, is found on page 1626 in your pew Bible. Luke records, "Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy, they met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' And when he saw them, he said, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, when he saw he was healed, he came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?' And then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus, because nothing good comes from any other place. I have a story to tell you before we kick into the sermon. And it's a story some of you have been involved in. It's about a church that was looking for a pastor to come and call committees and all of that. Maybe you can relate to this. It goes this way. A church was in need of a pastor, and for some time they were having trouble getting one. It wasn't because pastors weren't applying, but it was because the congregation always seemed to find fault with the pastors. Most pastors were rejected when the people read the resume. Some didn't even have enough experience. Some had too much experience. Some not enough education. Some too much education, and so on. Well, there was a member of the board who was growing tired of this situation and wanted a decision to be made. So he decided to do something. On the next Sunday, he got up in the pulpit and he announced that he had yet another resume to share with the congregation. Many of them, they sat back like that. They sat back and folded their arms and they began to listen, and they were ready to see what faults that they could find on the new applicant. So the board member began to read the resume, and it went something like this. "Dear church members, I am writing to apply for position as your pastor. My experience is more along the lines of an evangelist, but I believe I could fill your position adequately. Now, I have never attended any Bible school per se, but I have a lot of field experience. I don't have a degree on my wall, and I don't really have a wall for that matter. I've traveled around most of my life. I've renting and doing odd jobs to support myself and preaching wherever I was invited, that is, churches in the streets or even in jails. As a matter of fact, I've been thrown in jail several times, unrighteously, of course, and I have been involved in a few public squabbles. Some people call them riots. I've been accused of being anti-Semitic, anti-authority, and causing disturbances almost everywhere that I go. But I did have a few conversions to Christianity during my ministry, as well as a few healings. I don't really remember how many people I baptized, but thank you for considering my application. Most of the people, they looked up at the deacon with smirks of condemnation. Some people chuckled out loud. And one man stood up, still laughing, and he asked the deacon, "Does this guy actually expect us to seriously consider him as our pastor? He's been in prison." Just what is this fellow's name anyway? And the deacon replied that the letter was signed the Apostle Paul. At first glance today, there may not seem to be a lot in common between our Old Testament reading and the gospel for today. The Old Testament reading deals with the tragedies that struck a woman named Naomi and how her daughter-in-law, Ruth, remained faithful to her through thick and through thin. And then the gospel tells us about 10 lepers who asked Jesus for healing, and then they received healing. And you could ask, what could possibly be a common theme that is woven between these two stories? Well, the Old Testament reading and the gospel for today, they both deal with outcasts. Outcasts, people that are outside of society or outside of the norm or outside of what you would expect or outside of what you would want to see on a resume. The Old Testament reading and the gospel for today both deal with outcasts. Outcasts are people who don't fit in, who don't fit in our expectations. Outcasts are people who make us feel uncomfortable, maybe even frightened. They might be loud. They might be rude or obnoxious. They might even smell. Whatever it might be, there is something about an outcast that makes us want to forget that they too are one of God's creations and very much loved by Him. And it's pretty easy to see that the lepers of the gospel are outcasts. But where is the outcast in the book of Ruth? In the last sermon before he died, Moses said that. He said, "No Ammonite, no Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever because they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way when you came out of Egypt, and because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor from Pethor of Mesopotamia," easy for your pastor to say, "to curse you." This is Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 through 4. And then today's Old Testament reading tells us that Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, that he died and that she was left with her two sons. And these two sons took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah and the name of the other was Ruth. So Ruth was a Moabite. And according to Moses, she could not be allowed to join the assembly of the Lord. Her resume didn't match up. Not only was Ruth from Moab, but she was also a woman. The culture of the Old Testament was patriarchal. That is, that men ran things and women had very few rights. Ruth really had two strikes against her. She was a Moabite and she was a woman. She was a true outcast. Now, the book of Ruth is a really wonderful story about how God provided a redeemer for this outcast. The story between Ruth and Boaz wonderfully foreshadows the relationship of Christ with his bride. His bride is the church. Ruth eventually became the great-grandmother of King David and a distant ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, as to the outcasts in today's gospel, as I said before, they are very obvious. Perhaps no disease mentioned in the Bible is a better metaphor for sin than leprosy. And Easton's Bible Dictionary describes this disease this way. This disease begins with specks on the eyelids and on the palms, and it's gradually spreading over the body, bleaching the hair white wherever they appear, crusting the affected parts with white scales and causing terrible sores and swellings. From the skin, the disease eats inward into the bones, rotting the whole body piecemeal. Even today, with our modern technology, the word leper still strikes a bit of fear. The lepers in our gospel were literally dead men walking. It was almost as if the decay of death set in before the body was actually dead. And lepers were outcasts because of their medical condition. Lepers were also legal outcasts. The law of Moses said, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip, and he shall cry out, unclean, unclean, and he shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. This is Leviticus 13. This is the reason that, as we read today, that the lepers stood at a distance. By law, they were not allowed to go near anyone. So today, and toward the end of today's gospel, we learn that one of the lepers was even more of an outcast than all of the others. Did you catch that? Then one of them, we read, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. Now, he was a Samaritan. So he's a leper, and he's a Samaritan. Samaritans, we know, were below the bottom rung of the social ladder among the Jews. Many years before Jesus had walked on this earth, the Assyrians defeated the northern tribes of Israel, and they exiled the Israelites, and they brought pagans in to take their place. And the Samaritans were the descendants of the unions between these pagans and a few Israelites who had managed to stay in the land. They represented people who did not keep themselves pure. Of all the outcasts who lived in the first century, Samaritans were at the bottom of the social list. So both Ruth and the Samaritan leper had a third strike against them. That third strike is that they were both sinners. And in this respect, they are like us and all other people in this world. We are all outcasts. We have all been cast out and are outside of from the Garden of Eden. And there is a problem when everyone is an outcast. That problem is because we are fallen people who live in a fallen world, and there is no way for us to even know that we have fallen. Since the fallen world is all that we have ever known, we believe that we live in a perfectly healthy and normal world. There is nothing to indicate that anything is wrong. However, it's not until the Holy Spirit shows us God's law that we realize that we are outcasts. When the Holy Spirit shows us our reflection in the mirror of God's law, we see that we have a very serious disease. And even while we live physically, our spirits are rotten with sin. Just as a leper is a dead man walking, so a sinner is a damned man walking. And when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and He shows us the truth of God's law, we see that we are outcasts, that we are, well, that we are sinners, and that we are spiritual lepers. And as spiritual lepers, we can't enter the city of God, and so we are doomed to spend eternity in hell. Now, after the Holy Spirit opens our eyes to the law and we finally begin to feel the guilt that we so richly earned, He opens our eyes and He shows us the truth of the gospel. That's the division between law and gospel. When Jesus healed those 10 lepers physically, He was making His way to Jerusalem to take their spiritual leprosy to the cross. And not just their spiritual leprosy, but from the time that He shed blood at His birth to the time His blood was poured out at His death, He carried the spiritual leprosy of the entire world. In Jerusalem, He would offer Himself and He would become the cure for the disease. And that was by sacrificing Himself on the cross. And in His resurrection from the dead, well, He offers this cure to the world, to all who would believe. The story of the Samaritan leper actually has three miracles. There is the obvious healing miracle. Jesus healed the leprosy. And then there is the miracle of breaking down the barrier between Jew and Samaritan. Jesus knew this man was a foreigner, but He healed him anyway. And finally, there is the miracle of conversion. We read that the healed Samaritan worshiped Jesus with thanksgiving. With that, God opened the kingdom of heaven to this double outcast, the Samaritan leper. He welcomed him. God welcomed him into His city. Now, most of us has heard this story many times during our lives, but have we thought about the outcasts in our own lives? Are there any outcasts in our own lives? I'm going to share another story with you, and this is from another pastor that wrote this, and he shared it with his congregation. It's a contemporary happenstance that it's got a similar theme to what we just read. And maybe, just maybe, you can relate to it. The pastor said this: during my teen years, we lived next door to a very interesting family. I never saw the father without a can of beer in his hand. Mostly, the father came outside to yell at his kids. And the son, who was my age, was also very interesting. He was an explosives expert. You see, he mixed his own explosives and he made them from chemicals that he had in his basement. And he set them off in his backyard. And one time this young man left, he let me drive his new motorcycle around the block. And boy, did he brag. He bragged about the deal that he got on the motorcycle. And later I learned that the reason he got the bike so cheaply was, because the person that sold it to him didn't really own it. Now, many of us would be ready to label these people as outcasts. But God didn't do that. You see, many years later, after my parents retired, they attended a Bible camp near their home. And imagine my parents' surprise when they met a few members of that outcast family who were also in attendance at the Bible camp. They, the family, are now members of a Lutheran congregation. We didn't know it back then, but they had been watching us. They watched and they heard my father as he gathered us together for evening devotions after supper. They heard us sing hymns. The Holy Spirit used that experience in their lives to bring them into His church. Now they gather together with their children and they sing hymns with them. I don't think my father was making any special effort to evangelize that family. He was just doing what the head of the house is supposed to do. And that is to teach the faith to his household. And we had absolutely no idea that the Holy Spirit would use us in this way. I ask you, how about that for a story? And perhaps you have a story like that to tell too. I'd love to hear it. I won't use it in a sermon if you tell me not to, but I'd love to hear those kind of stories from you. Again, I ask, who are the outcasts in your life? Who are the people who make your life challenging? Who might be watching the love of God at work in your life? When Jesus healed the Samaritan leper, he not only opened the gospel to the Samaritans, but he opened it to all people, including those who live right here in Southern California. And as God heals the leprosy of our sin, His love fills us, and it fills us to an overflow that comes from us so that the lepers around us will learn about the Savior who has healed us. And as people who were spiritual lepers at one time, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate the love of God who healed us and share this good news with others. Let us recognize His goodness. Let us give thanks for His compassion. Let us praise His holy name. We too can join the Samaritan leper, and we can praise God with a loud voice. In the name of Jesus, amen.